This is an episode of Two Trolls and a Brew, a podcast about Magic the Gathering, specifically trolling the hell out of people. We're recording early this week because I'm going out of town. I'm going to Gen Con. Travis, are you jelly?
Nah.
Tell me you're jelly.
I am, in fact, not a condiment.
It's the best 4 days of gaming. The best.
I've had better.
What? What's better? Streaming, boom. All right, I'm posting this on Twitter right now, which if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, I'm Samus Garobo. He is TurtlePower319. And we're gonna jump right into the show. We're not going to dilly-dally. Not going to mess around. We're not going to even talk about shenanigans.
I will.
We're going to jump straight into the show, Travis. Except, oh, look at that. Black tank top today. So very sexy. So very sexy. All right. Title to this week's show is Gen Con. Subtitle, I Went to Magical Christmas Land.
The place that you said I can't go.
Well, I said you shouldn't go. You shouldn't build everything around there.
Like, oh. No, but I did, and it was perfect.
You ended up there somehow by accident.
Oh, yeah.
Got lost in the Magic the Gathering paths and ended up in Magical Christmas Land.
Yes.
So, let's jump to troll cards real fast and get it out of the way. My troll card this week is Waxing Moon. Those of you who are not familiar with this card, it is a green and a generic mana. For an instant, it transforms up to one target werewolf you control. Creatures you control gain trample until end of turn. That is the important part of the flavor text, Travis.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Control gain trample. Like, this card is very good. I don't think people realize it yet. And especially in the El Limito Environmento, where there's often a lot of chump blocking going on.
Don't know English, but you can speak Spanish just perfectly.
I don't. I understand what you're talking about. I just stuck elitos at the end of every word, basically.
Yeah, so, what's the difference?
I don't know. Unlike you, I don't think I've ever dated a Mexican girl.
Oh, I have. I love them.
I mean, they seem real spicy.
Yeah.
What's your troll card, bro?
My troll card is Geist Blast.
That card tore me up at this draft.
Yeah, and it's amazing. For any of you that don't know the perfection of this card, it costs 3, 2 colorless and a red. It's an instant that does 2 damage to target creature or player.
Huh? It's a 3-mana shock?
It is.
3-mana for a shock seems real bad.
Yeah, but then it has the other part.
This card had better do more than that.
When it's in the graveyard, if you cast an instant or sorcery, you can then pay the 3, 2 colorless and a blue to copy that and change targets if you want.
You mean 2 generic and a blue?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, so at this last draft, I had equipped a Lupine prototype, right, with a neglected heirloom that had been transformed. So it was a... No, that wasn't even it. I take that back. I am a lying piece of S. My opponent had a 5/5,
mm-hmm.
Right? And I had a Shrill Howler. That's what it is. I just real have it is one of the new cards from Eldritch Moon. For a green and 2 generic, it is a 3/1. Creatures with power less than Shrill Howler's power cannot block it. And 6 mana, a green and 5 generic, you turn it over into a 3/5, right? And the 3-5 has some flavor text on it, talking about things can't block it whenever it hurts a player. It makes a 3-2. So I had this 3-1 equipped with the neglected heirloom to make a 4-2. My opponent has a 5-5. It continued to wreck me through the matches with the opponent. There's a 5-5 that when it enters the battle or when it's cast, your opponent reveals the hand, and you pick a card with converted mana cost 4 or greater and 3 or less, and makes them discard it. Are you familiar with this card?
Nope.
I'd never seen this card before, and it just ate my dinner both games against this guy. But anyway, he had this 5-5, and I used Waxing Moon to flip over my Shrill Howler and my Neglected Heirloom, turning my guy into a 6/8 first strike, cannot be blocked by things with less power than it, and when it hits a guy, it makes a 3-2. Okay?
Okay.
In combat, the guy attacked me, I blocked, I flipped my die over, and I said first strike damage. And he looks at me for a really, really long time. I'm like, okay. And there's an instant that does 6 damage divided however you choose amongst amongst creatures, right? I think it's like 7 mana, maybe. Do you know what I'm talking about by chance? I'll look on the red card.
Yeah, it's out of this newest. It's out of Eldritch, right?
Yeah, an Eldritch Moon. I said I'm looking for it right now in the gather. See if which one of us gets there first.
Well, I know what you're talking about. I just don't know the name.
But anyway,
of the card.
I don't either. But anyway, the guy plays that, and then Geist Blasts it to do 12 damage to my 6-8 my 6-8. Before I could do first strike damage and kill his 5-5.
Yep.
I was like, well, I lose this game. Like, I put all my ducks in a row, and he systematically bonked my little ducks on the head, and then he just ate my lunch with Spreading Flames plus Geist Blast out of the yard. I was like, oh, this is sad. So, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, Waxing Moon did a lot of work for me, though, yesterday. And Geist Blast sounds like a real Magic the Gathering card.
Yeah, I loved it.
How did you use it?
Well, that's part of the magical Christmas land that I went to.
Okay, let's hear it. Your opportunity to magical Christmas land me.
So, I was playing against this dude. He was playing some variant of black-white tokens. And this weekend I was playing, or this Friday I was playing, Is It Tokens?
Is It Tokens? Or is
it is. It was.
It was?
It was, okay. It was kind of bad.
Is it bad? There you go. Is it bad tokens?
So on turn 5, I played, what's it called? Pyromancer's Goggles.
Okay. I like that card.
And then I was just sitting, you know, not really doing anything other than killing his creatures and everything.
Making like 4/1/1.
Yeah, essentially.
Turn. Okay.
So I played a Geist Blast off of it, killed 2 of his creatures. And like 2 turns later, something in the math, I can't remember how many turns it was exactly, but it was, I had enough mana to play Devil's Playground off of the Pyromancer's Goggles. And okay. Then before that resolved, I copied it with Geist Blast in the graveyard. So okay. I made 12 devils and he was at 12 life. And he was just like, well, I have this mass removal spell in my hand, but I can't really do anything with it.
Right.
Yeah. So I went to Magical Christmas Land with that.
It would have been really hilarious if he was like, so I have this mass removal spell.
Declaration of Stone.
But it only hits things with the same name, and all 12 of your dudes had the same name. I guess we'll exile them.
Yeah, But he didn't have that card in his deck.
Oh, okay. That's probably for the best. Yeah, I don't know. We're going to talk about tokens in Standard here real soon. But I think people have hit the right button and made me start to think about it. So it's pretty sexy. Anyway, what did you draft this week? I have my draft card sitting here in front of me laid out like I tend to do. Because I am furious about my record in my draft. Furious. Well,
again, I drafted Izzet. Like, okay. I think Izzet is really powerful right now. It is in the draft format. So I think I'm going to try and force that, depending on the rare that I pull every draft.
I got
because you. So far, I think out of the two times that I've drafted Eldritch Moon, I've only lost three games out of, I think it was like eight matches.
That's pretty good. We have a special audience member for today's recording, Riley. Riley, you successfully won a draft pool this Friday.
Yes, I did.
What was it? What did you draft basically?
Grixis.
Grixis? Grixis, just generic trash?
Yeah, pretty
much. Okay. So I drafted, I don't know. If you're splashing for Altered Ego, would you call that Soul Tie? If otherwise it's just green-black?
Well, you got Altered Ego, so the deck is now Soul Tie.
I had five sources of green or blue in my deck.
Uh-huh.
Between two fetch lands and two coming to play tap lands. And then the one island I put in there. So I feel like I had plenty of access to green or to blue, but mm-hmm. I didn't have any other cards worth splashing for. I could also have been four colors because I had a game trail and one of the flip werewolves, like the uncommon flip werewolves, but I didn't do that. Instead, I had this sweet deck, and if you don't know what a card is, Travis, yell at me and I'll read it. But I think most of these you're probably relatively familiar with.
Okay.
Neglected Heirloom. It's the flip equipment. Prey Upon is back. That's a one mana fight card. The Waxing Moon, which we just went over. Grapple with the Past. This almost was my troll card this week.
What's that one?
That is the green and the generic for the instant that you self mill three.
And then okay, Corpse Trainer.
Yeah, that thing, I'm really impressed with this card. Every time I played it, I felt like I was in a commanding position. One Grotex Mutilation, so the big +3/+0 lifelink spell. A Macabre Waltz, which is return two creatures, discard a card for a black and a colorless. I got to play the Succumb to Temptation, the draw two cards, lose two life and being. This thing might make my Mardu deck. It is very, very good. Clear Shot, which is a creature gets +1/+1 and does its damage to a creature. So that did a lot of work. All right, now to start my pile of creatures. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 non-creature spells, right? So I had a Permeating Mass. He's out of here, so I guess he knows what that is.
Yeah.
A Lupine Prototype. An Heir of Fallen Wrath. The 2/1 that discards a card and becomes a 3/2 flyer.
Mm-hmm.
Two Mourn Willows. This card is sick.
What's that card?
It is a green, a black, and a generic for a haste plant skeleton. That's a 3/2. And if you have Delirium, when it enters the battlefield, creatures with a power 2 or less can't block this turn. So it's like a pseudo-falter, but for just, you know, power 2 or less.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly it's a 3-mana haste creature in black and green. Again, it's a plant skeleton. So I have Immercools of Angel, foil and not foil. Right? This thing is amazing. Do you know what this card does?
Nope.
I really like this guy too. It's a green and two generic for a 3/2 human horror. tap it, sacrifice him and any number of non-Eldrazi creatures, and you get that many number of 3/2 Eldrazi horrors.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I actually opened one of those. I just didn't really pay much attention to it.
Because it wasn't in Izzet colors?
Yeah, pretty much.
It was green? Yeah. My first pick one, pack one was the foil Immortal of Angel and the Permeating Mass. And the Permeating Mass tabled all the way back around to me. I was really stoked. So two of those. The one Shrill Howler we talked about. The Bloodbriar, which I felt with the two Immortals of Angels was a really nice combo. Kind of, you know, I'm sacrificing creatures to make more creatures, like in an attack or blocking step or whatever. And then the Bloodbriar just becomes huge because I sacrifice a bunch of permanents. A Skirt's Dag Supplicant. That's a 3/2 for 3. You pay a black and discard a card. Each player loses 2 life. Surprisingly good card, actually. I was really impressed with it. We talked about the Alter Ego. Double Solemn Ward Stag, which is the 4/3 fight creature for 5 mana. MVP, probably the best uncommon in the set that I've encountered so far. Easily just dominated every game, basically. And then pack 2, pick 2, I was past the Ovenwald Hydra, which of course is the 6 mana reach creature that power and toughness equals the number of lands you control, and you go fetch up a land and put it into play. That was my deck. Somehow I went 1-2.
Huh.
I can tell you how. It's because I drew too many lands. I never lost a game with less than 10 mana on the field and at least 1 mana or 2 mana in my hand, and I drew another land off the top of my deck. Like, somehow there were more lands in my deck than I think I started the game with. Like, I think I'd blink and my opponents would switch out my cards with lands. It was really bad. It was super bad. And I was doing things like drawing extra cards and regrowing creatures out of my graveyard. I also mentioned I had 2 fetch lands. Like, I was thinning my deck of lands, and it still felt like I just flooded out super bad game after game after game, and I do not understand why. I definitely feel like this is an 18 card or an 18 land deck. I had 4 creatures that essentially cost for 4 mana or more. Then I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I had 8 creatures that cost 3. So, like, I felt like I definitely needed to make sure I got to my land drops, but it just felt real bad. I don't understand what happened. Maybe I take 1 card out and put 1 more creature, or 1 land out and put 1 more creature in. Maybe I would have been fine. I just don't understand. It was bad beats all around. Well, I said Riley drafted. What did you draft? Grixis. So he was. Is it black? Is it black? So I don't know. Again, blue seems really strong in this particular format. Red seems pretty strong in this format. Green, black specifically together seem really strong. I don't understand what happened with this deck that it seemed like it stumbled. So I'm a little disappointed. We'll figure it out. Anyway, now that we kind of went over the drafts for the week, what was your record with your Izzet deck this week?
My record with that was 2-1.
2-1. So maybe I'm just wrong. Maybe I need to be drafting blue and red cards. I mean, like I said, both you and Riley had a much better record than I did this week. We'll figure it out. So we got a couple of decks in that we're going to talk about on this episode, which I figure we'll probably end up diving pretty deep into. But we both made a couple of little notes here. Travis has Fish in Modern, Docent of Perfection, and I have Modern Spirits. So which of these three things do you want to dive into first here, Travis?
Well, let's just get the Docent out of the way because that's the only one in standard right now.
I think he's great.
Yeah. Like
I really like
him. I was playing with him this weekend, which is where the blue tokens came in. Mm-hmm. And overall, he was just – when you dropped him, he was at very worst, he was a 5-4 flying. And then when you team him up with Storm Chaser Mage, and then there's a Sanguinary Mage that I was playing with, the Vampire Wizard that also has prowess.
Right.
Like, it's just ridiculous because you cast any one instant or sorcery, and on the stack, your things become huge.
Right. See, like, I don't remember if it was you or if it was with Riley while he's been here, but I was actually talking about playing one or two of these guys in Modern because Modern Wizards is a real deck.
Yeah.
Like, there are enough really solid wizards that you can get away with building a tribal Modern deck in Modern, and it could be really strong. And this could be an excellent game closer for this particular, with this card in it. Sorry, I got informed that people were leaving and it kind of threw me off. I apologize for that. However, most of the noisemakers are now leaving. It's just Riley, who's quietly sitting through thousands of Magic the Gathering cards, tens of thousands of Magic the Gathering cards, and you and I, Travis, and of course all you beautiful listeners.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I think it's a good card. I think it could take off in Standard even with a little bit of work. I mean, some of the best spells ever printed are instants and sorceries.
Yeah.
And then if you do something like, what's that flip guy, that blue flip guy who makes all your instants and sorceries cost one mana less? We're talking
about the Homunculus.
Yeah, the Homunculus. We were talking about him last week.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of a sudden, a spell shoot down to a red and a white. If things suddenly shoot down to a red or a white, then it can be quite good. So, I don't know. Pretty excited. What is this fish comment for? Are you thinking about building fish in Modern?
So, on Thursday... Okay, so we have two shops here in town.
Okay.
And, Charles. Yeah. They have managed to work out a schedule so that way, essentially, there is kind of tournaments 5 days a week.
Right. Shop A runs tournaments like every other day. Shop B runs on the other days.
Yeah, so like Shop A runs the F&M and the Saturday tournament since it is a bigger shop. Like it can hold like 120-something people.
Right, it's just physically longer.
Yeah. So they hold tournaments on Friday, Saturday, and like Tuesday nights. And Tuesday is just kind of like a... you know, whatever basically anyone feels like. You know, they basically put that one up to poll. Shop B has Mondays and Thursdays, which is drafting always on Monday. And then Thursday, it's either Standard or Modern. So I went there this week thinking it was Standard. And it was Modern. So I was like, all right, well, does anyone have a deck I can borrow? And this one dude, he's like, yeah, well, you can choose between green-red Tron or fish. And I was like, well, Tron is kind of boring to me, so I'll try fish. He goes, you ever played it before? I'm like, nope, but I've played against it once.
That's all I need. Got it.
Yeah, and literally, I've only played against fish one time, and I just kind of went in there blind, and honestly, I understand why it's a tier one deck now. It's just absurd.
Yeah, the idea that you're like, you got all these amazing 2/2 or no, X2s with all these wonderful lords that just like go, 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 go. It is a very good card.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
We actually had bits and pieces of it sitting here. Like, I might put it together. We're missing a few things, I think. But, yeah, pretty impressed with the tribal synergies in Modern right now. I feel like they're really pushing a lot of these tribal synergies. And it's one of the reasons I want to look at spirits in particular. But what does this mean? Does this mean that you're going to invest in this deck maybe? Or
I don't really know, because I already have two decks in Modern. I do have Burn, which, I mean, that's pretty much how I started playing the game, and I've always loved the Burn decks, and I always try to make one for the standard rotation, even though most of the time they're just awful. But, I mean, I have Burn, and I have Unexpected Eldrazi. So okay. I'm not really sure I want to throw even more money into a deck that I might not even play, because I have two other options that are also really fun for me.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, right now, I'm in a situation where I'm kind of expanding my Modern pool of decks, just because the way things are currently set up for us, there are a lot of Modern going on right now locally. Because we kind of got the shackles thrown off for the PPTQ season, like right now it's the Modern season, like crazy. You know, nobody was able to have Modern tournaments forever, and now they just want, everyone wants to have Modern, play Modern all the time. So we'll have to see if it works out. Supposedly the last Modern tournament that was in Wichita only had 17 people for the PPTQ, which is super low.
Right, especially for a format that everyone wants to play.
But I guess what I'm hearing from the people who went down there is Modern just is a disconnected.
A crapshoot of anything?
Well, I was going to say it doesn't have the most active community. I was trying to figure out how to say that. It's a low population format for the area, where when you move a little bit further north to Hutchinson, Salina, Manhattan, Kansas City, it's a much more heavily played format. So I'm hoping that our PPTQs are going to be bigger. And I mean, to, you know, not to throw a little ad into our podcast here for my shop, but I'm going to do that. Our prize pool for this tournament coming up in August 20th, 21st, because we do back-to-back, we do two, teamed up with the game shop in Manhattan. Our prize pools for both days, first place, Foil Tarmogoyf. Second place, jeez, Expedition Steam Vents. Third and fourth,
I kind of want to take second,
Foil Thought Seizes. And then for 5 through 8, we have Foil Things in the Ice and Foil Path to Exiles. So we're figuring like $500 prize pools for both days.
Right.
$5, plus, of course, the invite. Like, and if we get into the point where we're generating, we're breaking even and then some, then we'll throw in extra packs and stuff like we always do. But plus door prizes and stuff like that, like we always do at the arena. But it feels really good, and I'm looking forward to playing, because I can play in one of the two, and I have my Eldrazi and taxes, and it feels really good. Right? It feels really good when I'm playing it. But
I told you to play Modern.
The problem is that, you know, if half the people who show up are people who know that that's the deck I'm going to play, they can stop me. They can shut me down. I feel like the deck is really, really weak to the same kind of hate that people put in for affinity decks. I feel like that's where the weakness is. Like, it hits that affinity hate hits it with the relying so much on Aether Vials. So I'm kind of unsure if that's what I want to do. Where instead, if I could audible into something like a fish that plays similarly, I could practice at home, or I can watch videos online, because it's a popular tier 1 deck. Like, I can get different kinds of practice with it than instead of just sitting here playing it. Where the Eldrazi and Taxes, the only way I'm going to get better at it is to play it. Because there's no other, like, the amount of resources difference between people playing Fish and people playing Eldrazi and Taxes are just massive. Like, I could go watch hours and hours of people playing Fish, but if I want to watch somebody playing Eldrazi and Taxes, I might get, you know, 5 or 6 videos at best.
Right.
So that's why I'm thinking about branching into a couple other things. Same kind of thing with, like, the spirits in Modern, or potentially wizards in Modern. It's just something that's a little different. And I think there's a lot of really powerful spirits out there. We were kind of, I don't want to say dicking around, but we were kind of dicking around on tappedout.net. And there are several spirit decks listed out there that just kind of show off raw power of spirits. And then, of course, all the new spirits are just crazy, right? So you got the 2/1 that gives everything flash, and the one that you can sacrifice to make all your guys indestructible. Like, the last time we had a card like that, it dominated Standard for the year. This guy, same thing. I think it's just going to be crazy. So how many of these spirit cards are going to be also good in Modern when you can play something like, what's the Cavern of Souls? Cavern of Souls, Aether Vial, lets you also get away with playing, you know, some of the other more powerful spirits of the past. Like, the mana base is great because gold cards are amazing. So, like, gold cards, you could just, I don't know. I'm really excited about the experimental stage of seeing some of those other things, and some, the next Modern GP could really shake up things.
Well, there is not going to be a Modern GP.
Yeah, there's still Modern GPs, right? Yeah. They canceled Modern Pro Tour.
Oh, the Pro Tour.
But there's still Modern GPs. Okay. Like, a Modern Pro Tour would also shake things up quite a bit. But they decided they weren't going to make it a Pro Tour format any longer, because people were really getting upset that they had to go and make bans in the format of the top decks all the time to make sure the format kept shifting.
Right.
Oh, we don't like it. We don't want you ruining our decks, but we want to see the pros play Modern. Well, then you're going to have to watch the GPs, because if we're going to be, it's got to be fresh and new formats on the Pro Tour. It's just the way it's got to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's either going to be, you get the bans and you get to keep watching, right, or, you know, we stop showing it, but then you can, I guess, watch the GPs and also Star City Games.
Right. Star City. Like, there's a lot of coverage for Modern. It just comes down to, do we really have to have it on the Pro Tour? Like, the Pro Tour is a marketing tool for Wizards, showing off the new cards, showing off the best players, showing off innovation. You don't want to be throwing constant the same decks all the time on the Pro Tour. That it just doesn't make sense from a marketing point of view to continuously be throwing the same decks at the viewers.
Yeah.
So I like it or hate it, it doesn't really matter, but that's just how it is. Well, we kind of talked about spirits a little bit. I don't know. I was just going through looking at things. Between Kamigawa block, this block, and just like random spirits of the past, there's a lot of really good spirits. I think we looked it up. There was 361 spirits in Modern. Like, that's an insane pool of spirits that work together. And then you have something like Kamigawa, the South Tree. Yeah. I think whenever you play a spirit, all of your creatures get +1/+1 and trample till end of turn.
Yeah.
So, like, you play 2 little spirits. Like, that thing costs 4. You play 2 little spirits. All of a sudden, all your guys get +2/+2 and trample. You know what we call that? We call that overrun.
Yeah.
Like, it just seems crazy. And then you could give all your spirits haste. I think there's another spirit that does something like that. And all of a sudden, all of your guys are saying, I don't know. I think it could be really good. again, we got to see what people who actually are familiar with all the cards in the format can do before I get in there and start mixing it up really well. Next on the show notes, if you're ready to move on. Are you ready to move on?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Awesome. The next on the list is the mailbag. I want to talk specifically about Scott's deck. Did you pull up the link?
No.
Okay. Well, Scott sent us a deck on one of our favorite websites, mtggoldfish.com, which is wonderful because it's moused over. I can see what all the cards do. I can read it. It's beautiful.
I found it.
Excellent. Great job. So, 4 Hangerback Walker, 4 Zergo Bellstriker, 3 Borderland Marauder.
What?
I think he wants to be aggressive. Be aggressive.
What's the Marauder?
It's a red and a generic for a 1/2 human warrior. And when it attacks, it gets +2/+0 until end of turn. So it's a 3/2 attacking for 2, but it's a 1/2 on defense.
Okay.
Hanweir Garrison, of course, is, you know, a card we've talked about quite a bit, where when it attacks, it makes 2/1/1 humans. Mirrorwing Dragon is the big 4/5, like
Zada.
It's like a weird Zada. And then Belham Revler?
Yeah, Revler.
This guy really kind of like it, the way in this deck. It is 8 mana, red, and 6 generic for a Devil Whore, but it costs 1 generic less for each instant and sorcery in your graveyard. It's got prowess, and when it enters the battlefield, discard your hand and then draw 3 cards. So you kind of get a little bit of a madness outlet, maybe, but mostly it's saying, hey, if this is the last card in your hand, fill back up. For spells, we have 4 Expedites, 4 Rush of Adrenaline, 4 Collective Defiance. Again, that we're willing to discard our hand to redraw cards. Find the things that we want. 4 Uncaged Fury. For lands, we're running the Hanweir Battlements, of course, 15 Mountains, and 4 Westville Abbeys. There's a sideboard in here that's kind of good, but let's just talk about the main deck. What are your thoughts? Because I have a list of cards over here to the side that I want to put in this deck. The wheels in the sky, and they are grinding.
Yeah, grinding to a halt.
I'll give you a second. Like I said, I thought about it earlier, so I have a few thoughts already built up.
Yeah. Oh, this seems pretty similar to what I want to do.
I think you're right. I think it's got a lot of the same synergies that we kind of kicked around before, and I think this is the shell that we would start the token deck.
Right. Let's see.
Leave that to the side. Leave the token generation to the side. If you're building an aggressive deck like this, ideally, right, and we got to keep it aggressive and keep it going. Do you have any changes?
I think I would maybe take out a couple. I think I'd take out 2 Uncaged Fury for more draw.
Okay. I don't disagree with you. I think the Uncaged Furies are a little much. Like, if you theoretically, if you're doing something like copying a Expedite onto your dragon or a Rush of Adrenaline on your dragon or something, you're already going to win.
Yeah.
So something like an Uncaged Fury is just like a little bit, I don't know. I think for the price, the Uncaged Fury is not good enough. It is not,
it's not a 4 of.
What's the old version of that card? Teamer Battle Rage. Thank you, Riley. Man, I'm glad that this, I'm glad he's here.
Oh, that's great.
He's the best. So let's just kick some comments out here, and you tell me what you think. First thing I don't like, I do not like 4 Zergo as my one drop.
Yeah, he's a bit too legendary.
You nailed it. You nailed it. I think I want to put some number of either Village Messenger or Goblin Gory Chaser in that slot. Like, I like the Village Messenger because it has haste. So you can fire it off anytime and at least get one attack in. Whether or not it does anything, I don't know. Maybe. But it is a 2-mana 1-drop, right? All someone's got to do is pass and you got them.
Yeah.
So at least on the play, it's really strong. It may be less good on the draw. But at least on the play, like, if you have this guy in your opening hand, you basically got a 2-drop. Like,
right.
A 2-2. It's not a big
standard, yeah.
Yeah, of course, I'm talking standard. The other thing, I would kind of like to figure out a way to put some number of Dragon Master Outcasts in this deck. You are running 23 lands. I think that if you're looking for 1-drops that you can basically put down and not worry about, but then still get massive value out later in the game, the Dragon Master Outcast is really high on the list. Also, I do not like Borderland Marauders. Get those sons of bees out of here. If you want to run something like that, run a Scrab Clan Berserker. Infinitely better, I think. It's a 2-mana haste creature for 3, red, red, and a generic. But it gets renowned 1. And when it's renowned, an opponent casts a non-creature spell, it does 2 damage to that player. So it's like a one-sided Eidolon, right? But it hits any non-creature spell.
Right.
It just applies.
Doesn't that cost 3?
That's what I said. It costs 3. Red, red, okay. And 1 generic. But it's pretty... I think it's a good card right now. Like, I really, really do. I think it... I'm trying to get my dogs to leave right. I left the door open. Sorry. But again, you're talking about a Borderland Marauder who's a 3-2 when he attacks. Or you spend 1 more generic mana and you make a 2-2 that attacks that turn. That turns into a 3-3, right? And then it also has this great upside. It just seems good. It seemed well positioned for a really long time. And I think in this deck, it's even more so. Then I also want to talk about Thopter Engineer and the Mama and Papa. Like, those two together, I think, make sense in this deck. However, we are starting to get closer to the mono red token deck that you and I are probably going to talk about in a minute. But these are just effective, potentially haste creatures, potentially suicide creatures for extra damage with evasion, etc. I just think they're great. So running some combination of those in the main, which is something like rely less on Mirror Wing Dragon and tricks and let you run more on just having quality creatures.
Yeah.
So you could easily go down to like 2 Mirror Wing Dragons with this combination and cut like Borderman and Marauders. And then that gives you 5 cards. And 5 cards you could cram in a combination of Thopter Engineers and Parents pretty easily, I think. Especially if you're willing to cut 2 Uncaged Furies. Now all of a sudden you have 7 cards. And you could easily go 4 and 3 when it comes to Thopter Engineers and the Parents. Like, those, that's a perfect setup, I think. But yeah, overall, I think this is good. The only other comment I have is, why no Titan Strength, bro? Like, +3/+1 and Scry for 1 mana is not good enough for you?
I think it's excellent. I mean, I used it when Zada first came out, and I was running...
Yeah,
Red Y tokens.
All the cards that you run in the Zada deck are great in this deck. Like,
yeah.
Look at the Zada decks that we played in the past and make some changes. Like, I don't even know if I'd run Collected Defiance in here. I think I might run the Titan Strength instead. And again, I'm just looking for you want a red deck, you want a red aggressive aggro deck, you want to stay on message. You want your creatures to attack the turn they're played, you want them to stick around. And you want them to be able to punish your opponent as much as possible for the least amount of mana possible. And then have as much range. That's where you're talking about things like Titan Strength and things like the Parents. So Now, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's take this shell, right? Because, again, I think it's very, very close to what we're talking about. Let's turn this bitch into... Is bitch a...
No, it's a proper noun.
Okay, good. Let's turn this bitch into the tokens deck, right? Because it's very close. It's super close. We cut the revealer. We cut the dragon. We cut this Murata. We cut Zergo. And basically we have the garrison, the hangarback walkers, Thopter Engineer, the parents. We cut Uncaged Fury. We collected Defiance. We add what? Like...
So I think we leave in the dragon.
I think if you're going to do that, you want Zada instead. Like, you don't want them to, like, get the perk out of it with this, right? Like, I think you just run the Zada.
I think or maybe two dragons, Zada and two Zada. Dragons, and well, I was thinking two dragons and three Zada. So that way you have five chances of getting it.
I don't know if you need that many.
I don't think we need that many either, but if we can, why not? But no, I'd take out the Walker, the Bellstriker, the Marauder.
Hey, here's a question.
Probably not the Reveler, though.
That stupid spell that I don't love, it costs like one mana more than I want it to cast. Right? The one... It's like a red and two generic and does one damage to a creature and it makes a...
Make mischief.
So you have that guy, right?
Uh-huh.
You have all of these creatures with at least a one or at least a two butt.
Uh-huh.
And then you make mischief your own guy. So say you have like five dudes, right? Including Zada or this dragon. And you make mischief on your own guy. Because it says if it targets one creature, you cop it for everybody, right? So the way make mischief works, it's targeting one creature, right? So it'll do one damage to everything, but it'll make like five dudes.
Yep.
So plus
if you already have devils out, you just basically... You
shoot all these one goblins and make a whole bunch of more goblins.
Yeah.
And then you put Impact Tremors in this deck.
Which I was already going to have before.
Well, I figured so too, but now all of a sudden I'm really on board with this plan.
Right?
I was half-ass on board before. Like, okay, crap this whole deck. This whole deck is crap. Okay, so we start off, first of all, what's the goggles? Pyromancer's goggles?
Yep.
All right, we start with Pyromancer's goggles. Okay, and now we have, now I'm on board with your five Zada effects. Right, boom, we put those in there. Shit, yeah. All right, and then we put in the Hangarback Walkers and the Mama and the Papa and the Thopter Factory guy. And then you run, what else targets a creature and makes a token? Like, I'm on board with this plan now. That's it, right? We're done?
Yeah, I think we're done.
Never mind. Maybe we don't go all excited. I was super excited. I was with you. I was like, "Yeah!" But no, I like this idea of make mischief and Zada effects with a couple of creatures.
Now, how would you feel about this deck being red-green?
Why do I want to go into green? Because I don't hate it. I don't hate it on principle. I just need a reason.
What was that one creature? You drafted it this week. I think you did anyways. The one where you sacrifice any number of creatures and put that many 3/2 elementals into play?
Circles of Angel?
Yeah!
Alright, I'm on board.
Just think of like that and...
I'm getting there, I'm warming up to the idea.
Yeah, you just drop a metric ton of like devil tokens. You play the dude, give him haste, and then sacrifice it. to make all the tokens dealing like X plus X with impact trimmers on the field.
I'm on board. Yeah, I don't know. I could see the Zada deck maybe getting some more love on Magic Online. I might sit here and do some of that tonight with Riley while he's here and see if we can't modify the Zada deck to be good again. Just surprise some people. Just surprise some people with some really bad cards.
Right.
The other thing you could do, just kind of throwing some things out here while we're talking about Scott's deck. Borderland Marauder can switch out for Mage Ring Bully. It's another two drop with prowess. So, I mean, you have to attack each turn if able, but you have another prowess guy. Like I said, I talked about Goblin Gory Chaser earlier. Goblin Bush or Reckless Bushwhacker is the thing. And if you're going to do that, plus Zada, then all of a sudden you're talking about, we're close to a critical mass of goblins, which means Goblin Pile Driver's back, right?
Yep.
And then you're talking about things like Rush of Adrenaline in my deck or potentially Uncaged Fury in my deck. Like, oops, I attacked you with a 19-4 double striking trample pile driver. Like, oops, sorry.
How did this happen?
I don't understand the world that we live in today.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, I think we're going to see a ton of decks built around the Hanaware Garrison, Hanaware Battlements.
Which is why I'm glad I already picked up my playset of both.
Oh, man, I have not.
Yeah, the day after the release, I went to both of the stores, and I picked up three of the battlements, and then three of the garrison. And then this last Monday or Thursday with the prize packs, I got the fourth garrison. And then one of the dudes, he's like, oh, I have a hand where battlements. I'm not going to play this. I was like, oh, that's disappointing. He goes, you seem excited about it. Here, you can have it. And he just gave it to me.
So I'm looking at the price right here on Goldfish, and four Hanware Garrisons, according to this, are $10.76.
Yeah.
And four Hanwell Battlements are $5.74.
Yeah.
So you're talking about $16, $17 for these eight cards. It's probably good. If next week, all of a sudden, this makes, let's say, does well at the Pro Tour next week. I think it's next week, right?
Sure, whatever.
Do you know?
It's next week.
It's next week. All right. If
Riley should be there more often.
Yeah, he should, right? Fact checker. Maybe we'll just it'll suddenly be two trolls, maybe two and a half trolls all of a sudden. Two trolls and a nice guy.
Yeah.
Fat checking you. But I bet
actually you guys are wrong.
I bet
sweet, thanks.
He thinks he can spell. But yeah, it could be a solid investment. I mean, these cards are good. Like of all the cards in this that are these merge or whatever, meld. I feel like this the handware stuff is the best.
Yeah,
hands down. So I should definitely motivate and get these cards. Cyborg. Just so you know, Thermo Alchemist, it has Defender for 2 mana, tap to do 1 damage to each opponent whenever you cast an instant or sorcery, untap it. I think this guy's amazing, but we'll have to see. And again, he's a human and a shaman.
So he's a shaman. He just lost some value.
Yes, he's a shaman, which means he could show up. He could do a lot of work in the shaman decks. He can do a lot of work in human decks. Like, I feel like this guy's got a lot of play.
But he can't do a lot of work in a Docent of Perfection deck.
What are you talking about?
Because he's not a wizard.
He doesn't need to be a wizard.
He does.
He's going to pick up that extra value from all those spells you're casting to make other wizards.
Mm-hmm.
Logic. Mm-hmm. And Chandra, Fire of Kaladesh. I think this is a card that is going to see play now. Like, I think there's enough really good red stuff to just, like, go off now. That being said, the 6-mana one is not that far away. Once you play, like, 3-mana, you know, she's 6, so you have to wait the next turn if she doesn't die. Where you got to give it haste, which now all of a sudden you're spending another red mana. Like, I believe that she could go off and go insane, but it's, do you want to bother? Should you just wait for the 6-mana one, which we all know to be absolutely insane?
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks for sending that in, Scott. Hopefully our comments were helpful. I think you're really close. I think you're missing just a couple cards here and there. Mostly switch out some number of these Zergos for non-legendary one drops, and switch out these Borderland Marauders for either the 3-drop or a better 2-drop that works a little bit, has a little bit more synergy with your deck. Maybe sliding in Thopter Engineers. I had one other card that could make it in this deck, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on this card in general, Travis.
Okay.
Impetuous Devils is essentially another Ball Lightning.
Oh, yeah.
But it's got the text, when it attacks up to one target creature, defending player controls blocks it this combat if able. So you can call out a, man, I'm going to say bitch again. You can call out a bitch as well.
It's like Provoke.
It is. It's just like Provoke.
Well, no, because Provoke untaps them.
Oh, that's true. But you're like, you and me, we're throwing down.
But I don't like, want to. Too bad.
Well, we're coming over anyway, right? So, I don't know. I like it. I think this is a strong card, and it could be an excellent finisher. It could be infinitely better than, say, like Caged Fury. Or it also works really, really well with Caged Fury.
Yeah.
Like for 7 mana, all of a sudden I have, again, 12 mana, 12 power of double striking trample. So maybe Caged Fury lives again. I don't know.
You know, if you really wanted to go tokens with this, I think Borrowed Hostility.
Which one's that?
That's basically the 1-mana target, or it's red. 1 red mana, target creature gets +3/+0 until end of turn, or target creature gains first strike till end of turn.
I like that card too, actually. I really do.
The Escalate is 3.
So if you escalate the card, right? And it just targets Zada, do all your creatures get the extra cost or the extra perk? I think so, right?
Yeah, because it's still targeting one creature. Yeah. It's
still only one spell. It just happens to have 2 effects that both target the same creature.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it should recast all those times. So, yeah, I'm down. Like, all my guys get +3 or all of my guys get first strike. Or if I have, 4 mana? Mm-hmm. Do both?
Yeah.
Seems good.
Which, I mean, if you already have the dragon or Zod on the field, you have 4 mana.
Well, sometimes. Like, how many times have I, in the previous deck, in the blue-red Zada, have I had a Zada and then cast a spell to, like, draw a bunch of cards and looking for a way to kill my opponent that turn? So. Well, I don't know. I've had situations where I've played the Zada and not had the mana to do something crazy for 4 mana. But no, good deck. I think Scott was hanging out at Friday Magic and he was pretty adamant that there's a red deck in Standard. We just don't know what it is yet. And I agree. I think that this is pretty exciting. But I'm a big Zada fan and have been. I really kind of want to just try Goblins now. Goblins with Zada?
Yes.
Standard. Like, I have the feeling that it's good now. I haven't looked. I don't know exactly. But now that I've got my card out, Riley should just live with me. He should just live with me and sort magic cards and do magic card work in my basement. The Magic Gathering the Hobo.
Yep.
He just goes from house to house sorting people's magic cards for food. Food and pay.
I just remembered another great card.
For this deck?
Yes. Well, for the token deck.
Okay, let's hear it.
Otherworldly Outburst.
Okay, which one's that?
One red mana. It's an instant. Target creature gets +1/+0 until end of turn. When that creature dies this turn, put a 3/2 colorless Eldrazi Horde onto the battlefield.
Yeah, that guy could be really good, too. You're right.
That could be just disgusting.
Yeah, especially if you're, like, responding to a board wipe by pumping, by throwing that on the Zada.
Right.
You're not saving your Zada, but you're basically turning their board wipe into, oh, I guess I'll side sift my 1/1s and my Zada into a 3/2.
Yeah, or all of my things into a 3/2.
Right. Darn.
Because I know I did use that, the Otherworldly Journey or Outburst in draft on Monday.
Oh, now all of a sudden the other guy makes great sense too.
What other guy?
The freaking Immercool Ambassador guy. Like, you cast that on Zada, copying to all your dudes, and then you tap him and sacrifice him, and you make twice as many 3/2 whores.
Yeah. Oh, that does seem really great now.
Sick. Sick.
But no, I used the Outburst in draft, and I attacked with a dude, and my opponent blocked him. And it was to the point where he was just throwing out a chump blocker. So I was like, oh, okay, I guess before damage, I'll put the Outburst on your creature. So when it dies, I get another creature.
Right.
So he just looks at it and he goes, huh. Well, I guess if I don't draw an answer this next turn, I'm just going to scoop. Because at that point, I think I had 3/2 Eldrazi tokens.
Yeah, a lot of these horror mechanics are really sweet. I miss sacking Eldrazi for mana, but them being 3/2s now are also very good.
Right.
Kind of an interesting trade-off. So, can we take a look at probably the best deck I've seen from Joe ever?
Yes.
So, Joe has sent in a deck called All the Lands. And this thing is very, very close to being very, very good. I think there's just a few cards here or there that I don't like. And again, I think he's going to wear me down. He wants me to like this Gitrog monster is what they're trying to do. And I already like the card. I just have yet to find a place to put it. I think this is the deck for it. So, unfortunately, this thing is currently not sorted by Converta Mana Cost. So, I'm going to try to do this myself, and if I miss something, please don't yell at me. 3 Jaudi Offshoots.
Okay.
Which is the wall that gains a life when you landfall.
Yep.
3 Garlewood Dryads, which are the 1/1s that turn into 3/3s. They have Death Touch when you get to
Delirium.
Delirium. 3 Deathcap Cultivators, which is the mana dork who, when you get Delirium, gets Death Touch. Then you have 2 Bloodbriars, which are the 2/3s that when you sacrifice a permanent, they get a +1/+1 counter. 2 okay. Tireless Trackers, which of course...
Everybody knows, don't even go over it.
Okay. And then we have 2 Gitrog Monsters and 2 Orin Reef Hydras. Those are
Joe
the
loves his hydras.
You know, in this deck, the way it's lined up, I do not disagree with him. I think that we can make a few tweaks here or there with it, but overall, I like what he's doing. Sorceries, we have 3 Fork in the Road, 3 Gather the Pack, 2 Nissa's Pilgrimage, 2 Nissa's Renewal, 4 Rabid Bite, and 2 Splendid Reclamation.
Yes.
And then we're running 26 lands, with Evolving Wilds, Forests, Hissing Quagmires, Llanowar Wastes, and Swamps. Now, I know for a fact that Joe only builds around what he owns.
Yep.
So with that in mind, we are going to talk about cards that and rares and things you'll probably have to go out and get more of. But this is probably, I mean, clearly it's the best deck I've seen from Joe. Like, it needs the least amount of work, and it does the most so far. I do have some changes. Can you guess one of the changes?
Well, I can only assume that you're taking out the Bloodbriar for Sylvan Advocates.
I wasn't, but that's good.
Oh, well, in that case, I am now stumped, and I have no clue what you're doing.
I want to put the green enchantment landfall thing in here.
Oh, okay. Retreat, like, to Kazandu.
Yeah, I want to put retreats in here.
Well, he's running black, so put the Hagra in also.
Well, I don't know if you want to run both. But I definitely want to run. I mean, again, it might be good enough. You might run the black one with the other one. But I want the ability to activate delirium. I want the ability to do it, but I also want the ability to turn these little dudes into threats. Like, you already have this growing mechanic with the Bloodbriar and the Tireless Tracker. Of course, I turn the Tireless Tracker or the Bloodbriars into Tireless Trackers. Like, four Tireless Trackers, duh, right? So we definitely want to do that. But other than that change, and I want to take Nissa's Pilgrimage out for retreats, and then I want to make two other cuts so I can run four retreats. The only other problem I have with this deck is the mana base is slightly wrong. I want to run four Hissing Quagmire, and I don't think I want any Llanowar Wastes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you put in the retreats, I don't think the Llanowar Wastes are going to hurt you.
I don't think they're going to hurt. I just don't think I want them. Like, I think I can more easily have my dual lands come into play tapped and turn into 2/2s than have them come into play untapped.
Yeah.
Like, there's just not enough black in this deck that I have to have right away on curve that it matters. Like, my one black card is the Gitrog Monster. And I guess in the sideboard or something, there's Ultimate Price. I know he said he's made some changes to it since he sent it to me. But even then, you still have four Evolving Wilds to go get two Swamps.
Yeah.
Is there another green-black dual land that's not terrible?
It's just the uncommon tap land.
Okay, yeah, that's not what I want. So you could also run more fetch lands if you wanted to. You could run the pay two mana to go fetch a land. And then that also gives you things to regrow with the Splendid Reclamation. So,
yeah, I think with Splendid Reclamation, your end game needs to be the retreats. And I think the black one is better in this situation.
Maybe.
Because
you'd be right.
Like, if you Splendid Retreat, and let's say you have the four Evolving Wilds in the yard, whatever you, like, I don't know, two fork in the roads. So there's six mana right there. You know, the Gather the Pack and the Gitrog Monster, they all throw land in the yard. Splendid Reclamation, all of those back into play with retreat to the black retreat.
Right.
Yeah, Hagra. Retreat to Hagra. That's going to be a ton of, like, life swing.
We know the other thing that I would change with this deck.
I don't, but I think you should tell me.
Well, I was going to say I would run two of the spell that goes, was it Seasons Renewal or something? Seasons Pass. Thank you, Riley. Once again, saving the day. Maybe that should be the freaking title of this bloody podcast today. Riley here to save the day. Here he is to come up with the names. Mighty Riley. But yeah,
Riley, what are you? Magic Encyclopedia, go!
Like, we were playing Pokemon with Remington earlier today, and he's like, it's pronounced like X, Dad, or this is X Pokemon. I'm like, shit, kid, I don't care. He's like, well, I've played all the Pokemon games my whole life. I think I know some things about Pokemon. I'm like, okay, so his new name is Pokedex, and Riley's about to be Captain Gatherer over here. Right. And they're going to be superheroes, but only for podcasters that want to know things about Magic the Gathering or Pokemon. Jeez.
These Riley, guys. Can he hear me?
He can't hear you. I have to read the messages.
All right. Ask him. He needs to answer this in 3 seconds.
Okay, you have 3 seconds to answer this. Okay. He says okay.
Okay. What is the new spell that it costs 1 and a red, sorcery speed, does 3 damage target creature or player?
What is the new spell? It costs a red and...
colorless.
Colorless. Generic. Generic. That does 3 damage to target creature or player. It's a sorcery. Oh, he doesn't know. He's a failure. See, that's what happens. You get put on the spot and you don't know. But if you're sitting off camera, you're sitting off camera away from the podcast, you're not on the spot, you're just screaming the names of these cards at us.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. I love it.
I know some things.
But yeah, I think you're right. I agree. Like Splendid Reclamation, the Black Retreat, 4 Tireless Trackers. I think you go up Gitrog Monsters and maybe down Oran Reef Hydras. And you go... otherwise, I think this is probably fine.
Yeah.
I think you might also want to switch some cards here or there for... gain 7 life or grow a land or a creature.
6 life.
6 life. Sorry, and... can we go 6 life?
No.
No, we got him. He's on tilt. Pulsum Arasa?
Yes.
There it is. Like I think you want to have some amount of instants or sorceries. Like this might be instead of Fork of the Road. What's the instant that I was talking about before? Grapple with the Past. Like Grapple with the Past may be better than Fork in the Road here.
Yeah.
Because you mill 3, you might hit a creature, you might hit a land. So right. Then it'll go to the graveyard and then you can regrow it back. What I'm saying is mix up your sorceries and your instants if you can. So again, it's more easy to hit your Delirium. Like Deathcap Cultivator is a good Magic card. Like it's fine. But if all of a sudden it has Death Touch and it's trading with everything, then it's a whole lot better. And it's also a whole lot better when suddenly it's got like 5/1/1 counters on it.
Right.
Same thing with the Garwood Hydra. Or not Garwood Hydra. Garwood Dryad. It's the same thing.
Like, gnarl wood.
I'm going to gnarl so you can eat my wood.
All right. Well, whatever. As long as you pronounce it correctly.
But, I mean, a 1/1 death touch is good. It's a good card for 1 mana, but a 3/3 death touch is a threat.
Yeah.
So I want to be able to turn those things on, and it's so easy to do. With just a few cards here and a few cards there, I think you can pull it off, Joe. But yeah, no, I'm gonna take this, and I'm gonna build a variation of this, and I'm gonna try playing it at the next standard when I done drafting. I'm going to throw as many caveats in this as I can so I don't have to build this tomorrow and play it next week. But if we get this built today, I'll potentially play it at Gen Con.
For fun.
Like, I think people will just be like, this is bad, no.
Why are you here?
Yeah. Well, and that's, I mean, as I beat them down. Like, I took down a Super Friday Night Magic at Gen Con a couple years ago with my... what people perceived as my really, really bad Tooth and Nail deck, which I loved, and I would like to tighten that up and turn that into a modern deck. If you can find me a creature that summons up any aura that's modern legal, or not aura, enchantment that's modern legal, preferably it costs like 2 mana, or not 2 mana, that's a 2/2, or some combination of four power and toughness. I'd like to be able to tutor up my Tooth and Nail by like collected or Court of Calling up a creature.
Good luck.
Good luck. Speaking of good luck, I guess it's that time. We're getting close to the end of the show. Once again, I'm Samus. He's Travis. You're watching Two Trolls and a Brew. He's Riley. We'll throw him some props. You get producer credit this week.
Right.
Producer Riley.
Didn't screw up like
otherwise known as Captain Gatherer. You can check us out all of the past episodes and my occasional writings at samusgrobo.com. Of course, you can also find us at mtgcast.com. Hopefully this will get out before Gen Con. That's the plan. That's why we're recording today. Instead of knowing like who won the GP and stuff like that. So I can edit it up tomorrow and post it on Monday, and then boom, you have an early show.
There's something going on this weekend.
GP Sydney?
No. Shows how much I pay attention.
I know. I think it's Seal Deck. What?
Oh, damn it. I really love Seal.
Anyway, you can also check us out at twitter.com. I'm Samus Grobo, all one word, SamusGurobo. And of course, he is Turtle Power. The number is 319. You know, you got to take the good with the bad. You know, follow Travis, follow I on Twitter, and you know, you can be part of the show live if you wanted to. One last thing, twitch.tv/SamusGurobo. It's where I stream every single day, a variety of games. But it looks like I have a reason now to invest in a Magic Online deck. I haven't wanted to for several weeks because there wasn't any decks that I really wanted to play. But now I think there is. This green Zada deck, I think, is making me a little randy in my pants.
Yep.
But also, I think this All the Lands deck also could be pretty good in Standard for Magic Online. Like, it stops the burns. If this beats humans, like, if we can make this beat green-white humans, I'm down. This is the deck for the season. We'll have to see. Also, it's got to be able to beat
Spirits.
But I think it could do that, too. Like, I think this could outlife gain Spirits, and then depending on what we put in the sideboard, is there a Hurricane-type effect in Standard?
No, but there is Plummet.
I don't give a shit about Plummet. I don't give a shit about sacrificing one creature. I need to kill all the creatures. I need to kill all the spirits at once. I could play Languish.
Yeah, because, I mean, even if you play a Languish, it's not like it's going to hurt you.
I mean, all of my little dudes cost one mana and have less than four butt.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. Travis, I think you put together another Mad Lib for us today, right?
Yeah, it's off of another Magic card because that's all what right. I'm doing now.
I love it. I think it's good.
All right.
We could do this as a website, and we could are on the website, like as a not a daily post, but like a weekly post. I could give you admin rights, and you could just jump in there and just start putting these ad libs up. What do you think, Travis?
I think it'd be fun.
You're like, I'm not going to do any work.
Probably not.
I don't even write the summaries like I promised you about the shows.
No, yeah, I completely forgot that I was supposed to be doing those.
All right, hit me. All right. Mad Lib.
Noun.
Boy.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like talking to him.
No, I'm looking at him. I'm gonna try to base this around Riley.
Verb.
Sorted. We're sorting, whatever the proper tense is.
Adjective.
Annoying.
I have to write these down because
I know.
Yeah. Verb.
Dance. No, we did dance last time.
We did.
Sang.
All right. Bard. Noun.
Tarmogoyf.
Another noun.
Snapcaster? Forest. Let's be forest. No, forest.
Okay.
Good.
Adjective.
Red.
verb.
So we did danced. Roofie. That's both a noun and a verb.
Yep. Beautiful one.
Now I'm thinking Bill Cosby.
That's what I laughed for.
Tablet.
Tablet.
Tablet. I'm very much thematically in theme.
And verb.
Oh, verb. Frolic.
That doesn't make that much sense, but we'll go with it.
All right. Did you happen to type this down so you could easily transpose it into?
No, but I wrote it because that was just easier for me at the time.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. So this is from the Champions of Kamigawa version of Lure.
Okay. So because all the creatures have to block one dude.
Yep. All creatures able to block enchanted creature do so.
Okay.
All right. Boy Forest was sorted for its annoying.
Wow. Can't read his own writing.
No, it just confused me.
All right, one more time from the top. Right.
Boy Forest was sorted for its annoying, which sang many Tarmogoyf and Forest.
Okay.
Wow, this is awful.
It's real bad. I think we need to correct for tints.
But those same red that roofied most of those tablets from ever being frolicking again. Well then.
Yeah, I think we should just make these all dirty from now on. I don't know. I really like how
I'm gonna throw the red away. Was being
sorted by the frolicking. Don't throw it away. Post that. Get that in the show notes. No, don't do it. I don't want to have to listen to it to try to figure it out. I'm not doing it.
In the trash.
Oh, I'm not typing it out. I can't. There's no way. It took me like almost an hour to get last week's typed out and make sure that it was correct. Like, you had written something down in the show notes, but like, it was in the wrong order because you were like, oh, I remember what it is. I can fix it. And it's like, oh. Yeah, it took me I had to listen to that a lot to get it out. Because it's like, because it doesn't make any sense, your brain can't put it together.
Right.
And write it down correctly. Oh, it's so bad. Anyway, folks, I hope you enjoy the show. I hope if you're traveling to go to Gen Con or to a Magic tournament or whatever, be safe. Come back in one piece. I know that's my plan. I'm thoroughly looking forward to this Gen Con. Like I said, we are unshackled from the boy. I can do whatever I want to this Gen Con. We've got two young men to babysit each other. I don't have to worry about it.
They're going to go get so many hookers.
That's fine. They've got their own cash. If they choose to spend their money on hookers, who am I to blame them? Like, it's Indianapolis. There are so many homeless people there because it's just so nice right now. I bet they could really cash in for $20 at a time.
Honestly, like, hookers are the backbone of society. Okay. Troll on everybody.
How does this troll on everybody? I really want you to collaborate on this. You can't just troll on in the middle. Like, by the way, hookers happen to be the greatest source of income equality in the United States. Troll on.
Yep. Bye.